The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Okay, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And God said to me that this was the experience of a king after his own heart. This is how David understood the life of someone who holds God's word in a certain way. There's a way you handle God's word, and this will be your experience. So don't start from Psalm 1 verse 3. That's not where it starts. That is the end picture. But what must you do before you become that person who thrives in everything, say whatsoever? Even if you want to do a bad thing, but you can't do it though. Whatsoever you do, it will prosper. And like Mama said, this is a year of mouth. So don't talk bad thing, because your words will prosper. Praise God. And then let's go to John 7, 37. When Jesus Christ came, he said, you know what? What David said was his own personal understanding. This is how we saw that the lives of those who handle God's word in a certain way turns out. But I am here. He says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, Jesus Christ was saying, this man knows that when you relate and handle God's word in this particular way, your life is going to turn out like this. You're going to enter a season of thriving. But me, I have come. I am that word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was the same was with God. In the beginning, he made everything. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. So he says, I am that word that the psalmist spoke about. And if you believe, that's all you need to do. The moment you believe. You see, when you were in primary school, you taught us nine, Niger, Senegal, Congo, Orange, Limpopo, Zambezi. Plus Ogba River, plus Igboba River, plus Okwae River, plus River Niger, River Benue. It's inside of you. It will just be turning, staring. That is the same river that Psalm 1:3 says, it shall be like a tree. But Jesus Christ said, I'm inside you, you believe in me, I'm that word. That river will be boiling, it just wants to burst forth. I remember in my early days in FEM Foundation, that's a picture that lead pastors painted to us. Even when they were describing the FEM Foundation logo, that this is a desert place, and the people in darkness, they're about to see a great light. So wherever you enter, you are bringing cure. What does a desert need? And you are not just carrying 1 gallon. You're not carrying 1 liter. He said rivers. And not just ordinary. You know some rivers don't flow. Some rivers are man-made. He said it will well up into you, into a spring of eternal life. That's what, as you're sitting down there, you're carrying rivers. That is how Jesus Christ came and told us. And he said, by this river that is inside you, he meant the Holy Spirit. That those who believed in him were later to read. That later is now. So we are the ones who lived in that later. That they are later to receive. And what does the Holy Spirit do? One day I was driving from work, and I work a very fantastic schedule. I spend 2 days in the office, actually. You go today and you come tomorrow. Praise God. If you know what I mean, that the day starts at 6 p.m. So I was coming back from work one day, and I was asking God, this drive thing, Zef, is big English, upgrade, drive. What is drive about? And he started teaching me about the life of David and King Saul. And he said, I'm going to tell you what it means to carry the Holy Spirit inside you. And then the distinction is going to make at the end of the day. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Now Israel had cried to God. He said, oh God, give us a king. Like every other nation will want to have a king. And this God said, these people, they will not stop disturbing me. I'm going to give them a king. And so God chose Saul, son of Kish, of Benjamin, to be the king of his people. Now when God chose Saul, his desire was that, you know, in those days, kings were more like gods. They were the spiritual and political authority. And God wanted this man to father the nation that he has called his own people, his firstborn son. Many years down the line, fast forward to 1 Samuel 15:3, and God says, now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkey. Clear instruction. So Saul summoned his army. People should come together. The Lord has spoken. We are going to fight. What did God say? Do not spare anything. Kill all men, cattle, sheep, animals, everything. And what did Saul do? Let's go to verse 8. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. Next verse. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they are totally destroyed. So this man takes God's instruction and decides that, God, you don't want something. These ones are the fat ones. This one is the king. So he was not willing to destroy them completely. And the man of God said once that half obedience is full disobedience. Yes. So what are you going to do with God's word? And let's fast forward to verse 11. Please use the New King James Version. Or King James rather. Thank you. Okay. It repented me that... Let's go back to New King James. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Go to chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you continue to mourn for Saul? And I was asking God, you just reject somebody, ordinarily reject. And the prophet was mourning. And I said, okay, what does it mean to mourn? Mourn means something that died, somebody had died. You are weeping for something that can never be recovered again. So the prophet did not shake his head. He did not cry. He was mourning. Meanwhile, Saul was on the throne. He had the crown. He had command of the army. The whole of Israel thought he was king. The prophet was mourning because he knew that something in the spiritual configuration of this man has changed. He does not know it. You just a waka they go for road. But something has changed. And he began to mourn. And he mourned all night for many, many days. And then one God says, how long will you continue to mourn, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill up your flax with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. I have provided myself a king among his sons. Now David has no idea what is about to happen to him. Just like there are so many people here at this meeting. You have no idea what is about to happen to you. You are even sitting down here now. You are thinking that some people who some prophets are mourning over, they're the ones who are in charge. And you don't know that it's coming for you. Now I was doing a study and I was asking myself, so this David, how old was he at this time? The Bible doesn't say anything until he's 30 years old when he becomes king. But Bible historians tell you that for you to be a shepherd boy, you have to be around 8 to 10 years. So if you have a 10-year-old in your house, you have an 8-year-old in your house, you might just be carrying a king and you don't know it. Praise God. Now let's go to verse 6, chapter 16. Okay, verse 3. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. Let's fast forward to verse 13. Then Saul took the horn of oil. And you know the way the match past came. David was 8 to 10 years, remember. He didn't have bebe. He didn't have akbobi. He didn't have anything. Maybe he was even wearing dress and running up and down. But this is a man that God has chosen that day. And so all the big brothers come and they line up, the ones with the connections, the one with the networks, the one with the big names, the ones we see on TV. And God said, I've not found the one. And the prophet goes, is there any other one? Do you have any other sons? Because it's clear what he heard. And he said, yes, there's one. Who? And he told him first, he's the youngest. That's, he wanted to tell him the reason why he can't be here at this time. He said, and he's tending the flock. And the prophet says, nobody sits down until that one comes. And the moment David comes, praise God. The Bible says, then Saul took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Let's go to the next verse. Spirit came on David, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Give me this verse in the New Living Translation. 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Now, so for everyone who does not have the Spirit of God, you only have two things: depression and fear. So when you encounter people and they are fearful, they need the Spirit. And that's what you carry, that river, that's what is for, all those rivers inside you. When you see a person who is depressed, maybe you're a medical personnel, you're a mental health specialist, or you're just another human being, and you see depressed people and fearful people, know that the Spirit is not there. And that's why you have the cure. That's why you have the Holy Spirit inside you. That's why you're supposed to be sharing it as you're going. You're supposed to be sharing it and leaking of the Holy Spirit, praise God. And fast forward so many. Now, David, nothing happened though. Saul was still in the palace. He was still in charge of the army. He was still the king in the eyes of the people. He still had the crown. David did not go to the army. Fast forward many years later. Let's go to chapter 17. Saul was the same king who had led Israel to so many battles. But when it was time to encounter the Philistines and he saw Goliath, what did he have now? Saul was afraid. He didn't know what to do. So this Goliath would just come, boast, rake every day. And they just stood there on the other side. And then one day, Jesse says, well, David had no intention to be there in that day. There are times you just end up where you didn't plan it that day. But God has something waiting for you. So his father says, come, go and check on your brother. See how they are doing and take this food to them. So David looked for somebody else to hand over his father's sheep to. And then he went. And when he got to the battlefront, he saw Goliath. Remember, something was within him. The moment this guy was taunting the army of Israel, something within him was twisting. I don't know if the Spirit of God has ever made you angry at something. You just sit and you know deep down inside you are the vex. Some weeks ago, Mama, you remembered. I was walking into my office. There's only one entrance door. There's only one exit door. We not get back door. It's either you pass there or you go back home. And when I got to the point where I usually go in with my Psalm 24, I broke out in, lift up your head, O ye gates. The moment I dropped my bags on the scanner, and I was asking God, what am I singing today? I just said, okay, this song is also the same thing. And I sang all the way to my office. Later in the afternoon, as I was coming out, there's a vent on the entrance. This event, and there was a strange smelly incense burning and emitting out of that vent. I said, okay, now this thing make me the vex for money. And then I told Mama see what's going on. She told me some things to do. Since that day, they never try them again. Praise God. It was so annoying. Physically, I hate that smell. And then spiritually, my man, it is smell. And I knew this, someone is up to something. But it's not going to happen. And it has never happened again. And that day was the sixth day of the week, if you know what I mean. Praise God. So David looks and looks, and then his brother see him. They say, you see your head. I know, say your mind do dirty. What till you they do for you? I know you have only come to see this battle, evil child. These are the big-chested ones, so Goliath, they rake since they don't fit do anything. And David goes round and round and looks like this guy. And I imagine him saying to myself, this one, I'll kill him. So he goes around and then he says, okay, so the person will kill this man. Waiting and go give him. For me, there are those days when you want to apply for some things. You want to know the benefits first, too, if it's worth it. If at the end they will not say buy your ticket and come, you don't want to go through the stress of applying. But this guy was so sure. He had measured him and said, this one, yeah, agbewa. And he said, okay, by the time I do, but I won't do it for free. By the time I do it, what would they give to the person? Say, oh, his family will be free of taxes and he will marry the king's daughter. And then he said, yes, I'm going to kill him. And then I imagine they brought this man to King Saul. And the Holy Spirit told me, David na Bini guy. He's our tribesman. So if you're a Bini person, you are from David, but you will pay tax to Governor Obaseki. Praise God. So they bring him before the king and he says he's able to go. So imagine you just come and you say, you know, you're telling the president that you can solve Boko Haram problem. I know you know, I'm sure you know Nigeria Army has said they need spiritual solution. So they're calling on all of you. So you tell the president that you want to solve Boko Haram problem. And then he goes, hey, bring grenade launcher, bring bomber, bring bombs, bring AK-49, bring rifles, bring everything you need, bring the tankers. And this guy puts it on. And the Bible says, let's go to verse 34, 17:34. But David persisted. Okay, now he was explaining to Saul why he knew he would be able to take this guy down. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a cub, a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from his mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the claw and club it to death. Now, he was saying, if I pursue him, I catch him. He tried to, I will see, follow him, pursue him, catch him, I will kill him. This is the reason I know that this one I see, I will kill him. So what is your history of victories and battles with God that you know that in this year of thrive, this year you will thrive, you know. So David was trying to explain to King Saul, because he now had the spirit that I have such a confident hope that as soon as I go against this guy, I'm going to kill him. And what is hope? Hope is quiet trust. You know they make noise. Oh. They don't know saying, are you cussing? But something has happened and they don't know where it's coming from. Praise God. And this king says, okay, take my armor, take everything. Now, let's go to verse 38. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. Next verse. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. He said, I can't go in these. He protested to Saul, I'm not used to them. Some version said, I have not proved it. You remember those days you used to do proving in maths? If you don't prove it, the equation is not correct. QED, God bless you, man. So David said, I have not proved this. I can't go. And he said, you know what? I like all these things, but keep it. I owe my catapult. Yeah, agbewa. So this guy goes. And the Bible says he had no sword in his hand. And he killed Goliath of Gath. And you know, before he killed Goliath, Goliath says, who is this one coming against me? Am I a dog? You're only a small boy. And King Saul told him that, you are just a youth. This thing you want to go and do. This man has started it when he was your age. You don't even have any experience. But this guy had the spirit of God and he had hope. That once I go against this guy, if you go to Psalm 131, The Bible calls it a psalm of trust. One of the psalms of David. Let's go to Psalm 131. Psalm 131, there are only three verses there. Okay. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Next verse. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for his mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And I was asking God, so what does this mean? You know, in Hebrew culture, they celebrated when you weaned a child. It's not this day. You say, after 5 months, you not suck again. No, I don't tire. Or after 1 year, you say the breast is falling. You're not going to suck. Now, this thing had great spiritual significance. Because by the time you weaned a child in Hebrew culture, it meant that the child has survived all the mortality rates and all the evils that could have happened to him as a baby. He has now entered another stage and is ready for solid food. So David says, this is the reason why I have hope and confidence. That I have fought the lion, I have fought the bear, I have weaned myself, and now understand that I can go on to higher battles and higher victories. This is what he was trying to explain here. That so am I at the breast of God. I have weaned myself. You know, the Bible says that strong meat is for the mature. And he was telling me one day that even breastfeeding has techniques. That you can breastfeed for 2 years. If you don't do it right, the child does not get what he wants or what he needs. So you know that thing, they say, suck this side small. You turn and make it suck the other side. He said, no. There's a length of time it takes for the real thing to come out of the breast before you change to the other side. That's what the child needs. Praise God. We know all things, Mama. So this is why I was asking him that question, that what does it mean to win a child? So imagine that it is God who has breastfed you all these years. You have been in Firm Foundation. Now you have gotten the best part of everything. It's now time to move on to larger battles, larger victories. You don't need to remain at this stage anymore. Praise God. Because David, I'm sure he didn't know this day would come. But he was just faithful per time, doing the one thing he should be doing at every time. But the part that baffled me most was, this guy was anointed king many years back. He knew it, his family knew. Nobody, the prophet knew, God knew. But nothing changed in his physical configuration. Then the one who everybody knew to be the king was dead spiritually. Nobody knew. He was the one on the throne. And David was bowing to him for a very, very long time. Because the Bible tells us that David started to reign as king when he was 30 years old. So if between 8 and 10, God had anointed him, that this one is the one I have chosen, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. If he delays, wait. And then this guy kills Goliath again. The Bible historians tell you he was around 15 to 18. Because the king called him a youth. And now to be a youth, you can't even be in the army because you have to be at least 20 years before you join the Israeli army. That's why David was not yet in the army and his brothers were there. So David comes back with Goliath's head. And the king said, asked his commander that, whose son is this? And they said, go and bring David for me. And I'm sure David was just coming with the head of Goliath like this. And just, you know, in his usual manner. And the king says, let's go to verse 58. No, sorry. First Samuel 17. 17:57. Let's start from 57. As soon as David returned from killing Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul with the Philistine's head still in his hand. Tell me about your father, young man, Saul said. And David replied, his name is Jesse and we live in Bethlehem. End of discussion, end of CV, no more story, nothing else to tell about himself. That's all he had to say. So it's like somebody in Firm Foundation solves the erosion problem in Benin City. And they say, governor is calling you. And the governor says, tell me about yourself. You know the usual Benin boy, he say, my pa name now, Osage, we they say for upper. Nothing. That's what David would have sounded like to the king at that time. And that's how what he knew himself to be. He was so unassuming. Yes, God has anointed me king in the presence of my brother, in the presence of my brethren. But he wasn't saying, I must be that king, it must be today. So he comes without anything much to tell about his family, nothing much to tell about himself. So tell me, we are just a regular Nigerian family. Regular. We are even below average. We are below the middle class. If there's anything between middle and high and low, that's where we are. We don't even know where we are. Many years ago, when we started this thing, we didn't look like this. I was telling somebody last night that God bless Facebook sometimes. When they show you the post you made during your For Desert Places 2012, you just laugh at your head, and all you can say is, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I remember one year like that, we wore one blue wrapper. Oh, Jesus. But we knew we are the cure for desert places. Papa used to tell us that kings will come. School will be like this. In fact, the first reposition I attended, 2008. No, ma, I attended 2008. I just came from youth service. And Papa was showing all those pictures, and I was seated in front with my sister, badin. And I was asking myself, like, you know, I want to be. Praise God. But I didn't know I had an assignment inside it. But fast forward, today, you know, we host the kings. And Papa, I remember the word that was spoken over you and Mama in 2010 at the reposition. That this thing you are doing is going to go all over the world. I remember it all the time. That this thing we're doing is going to go all over the world. But why are we so sure? Hope. What is the source of your hope? What is the source of your confident boasting? When you say it will be done, why are you so sure? This David was so sure. He said, this is my catapult. He knew, he was sure. He wanted to be sure up to the reward. He was so sure. So when they say thrive, what makes you so sure? Two nights ago, I met someone who I knew for a very long time. I've never met him. I respected in the field and everything. And then Papa, I told him, I want to live where I am now. He said, why? I say, because I can no longer do the things I know I was born to do. And we ate dinner. At the time we were leaving, this man was still in shock. He said, the way you are so sure, it unsettles me. Now, don't you have ego? Why don't you want to stay here? Don't you have pride? Don't you have something you are looking for? I say, for me, it's not about where I am. It's about what I should be doing. And since it can no longer be done here, we are done. Simple. Because on the last day, only you will come. And that's the truth. And you must live every day of the tribe here like that. Because God is going to ask you everything, the word you heard, the ministers I sent, the prophetic words I brought, the worship from heaven, ego heights opened the heavens, I poured out blessing, Papa Chudume came, I gave out mercy. What have you done with it? And why can you be able to do something with what you have heard? Hope, one thing. In Ephesians 1:17, Apostle Paul started to pray for a particular church. Now, if you go to Revelation 2:2, the church in Ephesus, or a typology of an apostolic church, this church, no, they're not be small children. Please give us Revelation 2:2 first. Let's see how well grounded this church was Yet, this apostle found a prayer point for them. He says, I know all you do. I've seen your hard work. Hard working, church. Not just hard working in power, in the things of God, they worked hard. And your patient endurance. Now, some people say patience is synonymous with endurance. So God says, patience, endurance, all of them inside. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You can't even stand it. Your spirit repels evil. You have even examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but they are not. So you know this thing. You know fake prophets. You know how to identify them. You have discovered that they are liars. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17. After Apostle Paul penned his initial opening to this church, he says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Next verse. I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. But let's have this in King James, or New King James rather. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Now he says, you are a wonderful church, hardworking church. I know your patient endurance. I know how you test all spirits so that you can prove them. But yet I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Why? For one thing, so that you know the hope to which you have been called. So my prayer for you this morning is that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you know the hope for which thriving is for this year. What will make you so confident? Somebody say you can't leave point A until you are sure of what where you are going, of your point B. It's not all the time. Like Pastor Shintok was saying some days ago, I'd rather fail in the will of the Lord than prosper because somebody is asking me to be somewhere. So how much hope do you have? And if you have hope, what is the source of your hope? Hope is quietness, is rest, is silent trust. You're not saying anything. You know. You just know, you know this thing cannot fail. Have you gotten there in the process of this meeting that you know this is it? I'd rather do this than do anything else. And then remember that this guy killed Goliath and everybody is singing his praises. Yet he has to wait for approximately another 15 years before he gets to wear the crown and begin to reign over Israel. So even if that thing does not happen in this year of Thrive, what is the hope you have? How long can you wait? Can you wait for 15 years to be governor? Can you wait for 15 years to go to the House of Assembly? Can you wait for 15 years to have a child? Can you wait for 15 years to make money when people will know that you have made money? Can you grow a business for 15 years? In those 15 years, what was David doing? This same man who the Lord has rejected sought to kill him many times. This same David had opportunity to kill this man many times, but he didn't do it. God told him, anoint this man as king. So David knew, but yet he said to Saul that, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? How? Somebody comes to you and say you are better than your boss. And you are happy, you are laughing. And you go home and say yes. Then tell me, say I better person. Tell me, say I better person. Can you just be faithful while you wait in your hope? It's part of your thriving, though. You see, a river does not flow anyhow. A river has a course. So even that river you are carrying inside you, it's not just a boss pra everywhere. Sometimes you need to hide yourself. Sometimes even God himself will hide you. And I was saying to God, so this guy waited this long. How did he do it? And he says, okay, it's the same thing. Let's go to John I am the true vine. Where's that in John? Just John 15. John 15. John 15, 8, if I'm right. So thriving for some persons is going to come with pain. Thriving for some persons is going to come with waiting. Seemingly what we call waiting, people call it delay. Thriving is going to come with, I don't know the word to use now. People are going to mock you because they can't see the hope that you are relying on. I remember one time one of my aunties was ill. And we're taking her to church and trusting God. That was my auntie from the maternal side. And then one of my paternal aunties came and said, she just looked at the situation one and said, well, now sure say church, go do this one. Because she wasn't a believer. So someone might be asking you that, so you want to resign. Now God told you to resign. Have you saved your 6 months salary? And peradventure you haven't. Will you wait to save it first? Or you just go? Now, Jesus Christ started saying to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's go to the next verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. This is not the scripture I wanted. Can somebody please help me find that? I'm the vine, my father is a husbandman. Thank you very much. I am the true vine and my father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it bears even more fruit. So you won't try. We have upgraded, Abby. Now we are thriving. And we are bearing much fruit. How many of you trim your flowers at home? How many of you trim your flowers? So God is going to be trimming you emotionally. He's going to be trimming you mentally. He's going to be trimming you physically. He's going to be trimming you spiritually. He's going to be trimming you socially, all wise. And what is his aim? More fruit, more thrive. Because like I said, you can't afford to go haywire. There's a course. There's a pattern. There's a road. There's a way you're supposed to drive this drive. You can't just hit the road and start beating traffic like and say we are invisible, we are thriving. No, it's not going to work like that. There is a course that is set. And I know since the conference started, I've not been here, I've been following it. We have been told what that course is. How we're supposed to position so that this thrive will be the best year we ever had ever. But remember that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He not get as he want bad rich with God. He's not better anywhere else, trust me. You can never have, the worst you think you have of God is better than the best you can have outside God. The worst you think you have seen. So when he says, come, come, I will give you rest. Come, I will give you rest. Come, I will give you rest. Let's go back to Ephesians 1:18. Come, I will give you rest. But even resting in pain, resting in mockery, resting in seeming shame, resting in delay, resting in is not happening. Can you take a demotion so that you will rise? That's what it means to be pruned. Maybe it's just your character God needs to work on. Because where it's taking you, people will walk on your head. People see me and think I'm many things. Some say I'm youth copper, some say I'm volunteer, some say I'm whatever. It doesn't matter. That doesn't change who you are. You are the one God has chosen to be king. It doesn't matter who is looking like it now. When that time comes, you will look like it. So if everything you hear, if the year of thrive passes, there are areas in my life where I've not upgraded though. And it looks like the upgrade year has ended. But it's a word he spoke. And his word will not return to him void. Until it accomplishes. That's why I said, though it may tarry, he knows. That although it may tarry, wait for it. It will surely, it cannot fail. So we're going to wait because we have hope. And when this hope comes, understanding comes first. And when understanding comes, the eyes of your understanding, they are enlightened, they are flooded with light. You now begin to know the hope. Yesterday, Papa was teaching us about expectation. You know the end, you know where you are going, and that's where God is going to lead you to. So he says, you will know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory. That spirit inside you, the waters of living waters inside you, you will know the hope, the measure to which they have been called. Now, some persons, when pastor used to tell us in those years that firm builders will be all over the world, I'm sure you know some persons are doing amazing things. You just show up and they know there's a clear distinction between this one and this one. But maybe on your street, nobody knows that something has changed in your spiritual configuration. Don't worry. God knows. Maybe in your own house, they will still mock you after this meeting. When I say on the tribe, you still they beg money. Wait. Yes, because you will preach the message to them. And in the times of adversity, in your waiting years, they will be reminding you one. And then you'll be wondering whether these people really love you. It's part of the process. But you have hope. And that hope comes because light has come. And I pray that that light is released in this place this morning. This morning I woke up with that song, Imolede. Light. Yesterday when we were coming, I came with Ngozi Ezia. And as we were taking off from Abuja, I looked down. I usually take a window seat. And I just saw roof, house. I said, oh God, I didn't see any green thing. Then when we were landing in Benin, I looked outside. This land is green. You know, over there, you want to build mansions, so you kill all the trees, kill all the green. Everything is cement and block and zinc. Nothing more. So the city is hot when it's hot. And then I was landing in Benin and I saw roof, green, bush, grass, shrubs, vegetation, trees. And I was excited. And I don't know why I like coming back to the city. We keep coming back. And I know I don't know how many of us heard that at the platform, that the governor of Lagos State said they were going to copy Edo best. And I said, this is Isaiah 63. That from afar, kings and nations. That day when that thing happened several weeks ago, Mama gave me one instruction. She said, do what they cannot understand. Do what God did in Genesis 1:1. Call light. And these people are hiding under darkness to do a bad thing. And the moment I call, you know when your hand wants to enter the pot and they switch on light? That was what happened that day. And they have never, and they can never try it again. Whether I am there or not, I have left my words there. It can't happen again. That's all we're just going to say. I want you to ask God for light. Let light come. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you know the hope for your thrive here. It's a prayer.
Imale deo kuku parada. Imale deo kuku parada.
Imale deo
kuku parada. Imale deo kuku parada. Imale deo kuku parada.
Imale deo. nation. Light over our city. Light over the body of Christ. Light over your lives. And light over Faith Foundation. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.